If you have a Bible, please turn with me as we continue in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18. You can follow along as I read our text as we have laid the introduction and salutations and Paul's background. And now we go into, as he left off last week, that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, being a Jewish man. And he was grateful to the Jews, verse 16 and 17, to the Greeks. Both cultures helped him come out of being a religious zealot into a balanced person. And he picks up at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his visible attributes, or his assets, visible assets, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They are violent and proud. They're boasters. They're inventors of evil things. They're disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do those things, but also approve of those who practice them. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Father, we thank you for this second congregation, and we pray that their spirit as a group would receive like in the first, and we pray, Father, that their hearts would be open to learn and to discern. And Lord, I love your proverb. You said if a person answers a matter before he hears the whole thing, it's both a folly and a shame for him. So we pray that as we navigate through this opening chapter, it was written to the people in Rome in the first century. We obviously can see things that relate to us right here in San Diego. And we pray, Father, that you would dig deeply in our heart as we continue through Romans. And we face many of the environmental and sociological issues, the political issues of Rome first century. And so we pray that we can have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit would say to each one of us as an individual, that we are accountable to you with this short life that you've given us all. So, Lord, let us learn from history. Let us learn from these people. Let us learn from these truths that you, by the Holy Ghost, gave to Paul and now will speak to us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Verse 18 is a verse that answers a question, you know, a lot of people ask when you talk to them about the things of God. Somebody will say, well, why do we need a Savior? Why do I have to believe in God? Why does mankind need the gospel? Why is Jesus the only way? You know, you have all these questions that are, you know, they've probably been around 2,000 years. That the 18th verse tells us why. And it tells us that mankind is lost without a Savior to bring them to God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. You may want to circle the word all, not just some. God's not just picking out an ethnic group or a certain group of people. All. And that includes the Jews, who he is writing to, that are in Rome. And this is the very early formation of the Roman church, the Christians in Rome. So he had told us in our message last week, he's not ashamed of the gospel, being a Jew, and talking to the people that are in the headquarters of the world, literally. But he says, God is a righteous God, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, not some or a few or a select group, and unrighteousness of men. And then he qualifies a little bit, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, those of you that are in the military, and you may also just be a lover of shooting and target practice and guns, you know another word for suppress is the word silencer. And it lets a noise be heard, but it really tones it down so it wouldn't be heard by a large audience if you have a suppressor or a silencer screwed on to the barrel of a pistol. And what he's talking about is that people know the truth in these verses we just read. They know that they will be judged by a righteous God, but they choose to turn away from God, and they disown God, and then their nation does it, and then it implodes. I don't know if in your lifetime you've read or would like to, but I'll recommend, of course, the work by Gibbons, one of the best first century historians the world has produced. And he wrote a very large book, but it's called The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire. And in that, he does a really well and balanced secular. He's a secularist. He takes a really great balance of history, bringing you up to the prime peak of the Roman power. It's engineering. It's politic. It tells us about the Roman Caesars, their weaknesses, their strengths, the highway system that was designed, and how they had outposts throughout the known world at that time. And anything that came from Rome would spread to those outposts. But he does take a considerable amount of time telling the leaders of the world that survive and go on for centuries that nations can not only be overtaken by their enemies, they can implode on themselves. And he saw two things, and these two things Paul brings up in this first chapter. This isn't the theme, but he is showing how a nation and the heart of a man or a woman can implode, go inside and destroy a person and thusly destroy a nation from the inside. Now, the Chinese thought for many centuries that if they put slave labor to work and built a huge wall, 4,300 miles long, over and back from here to New York, halfway to the United States, almost back to the West Coast, you would have that wall. I've been on that wall. It's a humongous wall. I don't know how many Volkswagens you could put side by side to race on that wall. Herbie would love to do it, I'm sure, but you could get several side by side. It is that thick. And it kept the enemies of China out. But we know by history that China fell. And it wasn't from imploding. Its enemies got inside their security zone and took them over. Now you say, how could they climb that wall? There's no way they could climb that wall. How did they break through that wall? There is no way they can break through that wall. It'd be thicker than the 90 feet, I think, of this room going this way. There's no way you could chisel the archers up on top and the people with the molten things that they would fire out and the rocks they had dropped. There's just no way you could scale the wall or get through that wall. Do you know how they did get through the wall? They bribed a guard. They bribed a guard. And it opened it up that the troops came pounding in. And when they rested in their laurels and their strength, they forgot the inward part of man is corrupt. And it wouldn't be long till they found somebody who was corrupt and would take a huge bribe and influence others to not be on guard duty at a certain time. So with Rome, the same thing happened. There is a doctrine that he hits here, and there's a sexual lifestyle. The doctrine is what you and I would know as evolution. And it, from the inside, took Rome down. And the lifestyle, from the inside, took Rome down. It says in the 18th verse, the answer to the question is, why do men need a Savior? Is it because men are lost without him? Men are lost without the good news. And here's the good news. Paul says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and of men who suppress the truth using unrighteous matters. But the good news is that Jesus was crucified on the cross, and the righteous anger and indignation of God went upon him. And all sin, past, present, and future, went on him, the Lamb of God, as the sacrifice. And when he died, God raised him from the dead and said, the price has been paid. Whoever will receive my only begotten Son, I will impute to them righteousness and holiness, and I'll set them aside. I'll set their family aside. But then he shows us there's a way that we walk and that we live as Christian people. So the good news is, yes, God's a righteous God. He's a righteous creator. And he would be an unrighteous God and an unrighteous creator if he did not deal with sin. So he answers that question. There's a suppression of the truth that is going on all over the world today. And he talks about people exchanging a lie or the lie for the truth. Because what may be known of God in verse 19 is manifest in them. God has shown it to them. So every one of us today, probably the first time that he revealed in us was when you were a boy or a girl. Your spirit was not yet born again, but yet you were sensitive. You knew there was a God out there. You knew there was a creator. Nobody told you about the stars, but you'd look up at the stars and you'd look at the moon at night and you would see the beauty of God's creation. But somehow God has manifested inside us all. It could be that you're sick and you've watched God your whole life keep you going. And they say there's no hope. And then a new invention comes up, or some new medicine or new technique. And inside you're looking at your hands and you're looking at your feet. And you say, this is also marvelous. And you cry out to God. So in you is a witness of God. The fact that your heart is beating right now. No human being ignited the spark of that heart and for those valves to open and close to bring the blood through and to bring the blood out. Nobody. Nobody designed the red or the white corpuscles to fight off infection, disease inside of your blood system. You know that that came from somewhere. Your lungs, two big pumps that are inside of you that expand and contract and bring oxygen from this atmosphere, the terrestrial world you live on, and bring it through openings called nasal passages or breathing through your mouth, and it fills those lungs. And when you exhale, all the blood and the toxins starts blowing away from you so that you can stay healthy and strong. You know that there's nobody that made that. So there is a witness inside of yourself that if you never heard the gospel, God would say, I spoke to you many times, but you rejected me. Now, it is interesting to note in this short text, they rejected him and they knew him. So they knew what was right. And the Bible declares to know good and not to do it is sin. There may be people that you could do good to. You know they need good, but you hold on. That's sin. To know good but not to perform it, that's a problem that we have to answer for. So God speaks in so many ways, and in these verses he clears up a lot of things. The question in this verse is, what about the people in the jungles? Have you ever had somebody say that, or have you ever thought that? Well, what about the poor people that have never had the law? They weren't Jewish, or they're not Christians. They've never heard of the cross or the sacrifice of Jesus. Those are people that are looking for an excuse. In this text I just read to you, there is a verse that says there are no excuses. So when you're talking to somebody and they come up with an excuse, and I'm sure you've heard this, what about the pygmies in Africa? You know, that's a good one. It's just to throw it off. I like to say, forget the pygmies. Do you know any? Name three of them, and we'll talk about the pygmies. But I'm here with you. I want to talk about you. I'm concerned for your heart and your eternal destiny. But just if you can, Wikipedia or something, just say, now, you're very concerned. Have you traveled to see those pygmies? No, I've never been there. Have you ever sent money or a doctor or people over there to build them pygmy huts? Or have you cooked for them or taught them? No, I'm just concerned about them. But you've never done anything. You know, our checkbook and our credit cards tell us what type of people we are. If you're giving to the things of God, it shows up. But if you're spending all your time and money and energy in the world, that also shows up. So the pygmy excuse, you don't need to accept, because pygmies are not in Africa. They're in Borneo. So they're so concerned about something, they don't even know where they live. So you can talk to them and discuss it with them. And so there's always these excuses. So what about those people? Well, you can just look at yourself. This verse says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. You can find God by just reasoning with yourself and wait till God's voice speak. For God has shown it to them. Maybe as a little boy, an angel appeared to you, or a little girl. You were in a Sunday school, or a neighbor kid started telling you about God, and you liked it, and God was communicating. So you can look to yourself, and God has shown you. God speaks to us. And I think especially as children, because we're innocent and we're open, and he's manifest in them the truth. God has shown, but we deny. Because what may be known, it can be known about God, is already in us. For since the creation of the world, his visible attributes or his visible assets are clearly seen, being understood. How do you understand them? By the things that are made. Wow, the moon, the sun, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And what Paul says, there are no excuses for anyone to miss heaven. There is no excuses for anyone by their own free moral will to choose to live for eternity in hell with the devil and be in agony. There's no excuse. God has made it simple for us to see, but it takes faith, as we saw last week. The just shall live by faith. So we need faith. So in verse 20, he says, since the creation, he didn't say since the evolution. He said since the creation. You see, going back 2,200 years or whatever right now this was written, the people of the capital of the whole world, Rome, understood the planet was created. When Adam was born, we saw the genealogy of Joseph and Mary before Christmas. And we saw in the first message in Rome that there is oral tradition. And Adam and Eve passed it all on to their children. It kept passing on. And the five books of Moses were written because he received it by oral tradition. They lived to be 600 years old. As we saw, Methuselah, 969 years. That's a long time for him to meet a lot of people and to pass on the knowledge of creation. And that God walked on this planet at one time, and an evil force came to this planet and stole the right of it in the deed of it, probably seen in the opening of the sealed scroll in the book of Revelation. And that angel that fell, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven to earth. The angel in Revelation says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan, that old serpent, the old dragon, has taken a third of the angels of the stars with him from heaven by his tail, and he is full of anger because his time is short. That is telling inhabitants of planet Earth that out in heaven, out past space, there is a kingdom, and this evil creature that turned and rebelled against God brought a third of God's angels with him. They're living on this planet. They can possess animals, boys, girls, men, women. You've heard of demon possession. They can possess anything they want. They control the world as we know it. And so they hate God. And they know judgment is coming. And the moment the angel said he's angry because his time is short, You just got a great break from suppression of truth. The devil is an eternal creature that God's wrath has gone out to, and his whatever keeps you alive for eternity is waning, and the clock is ticking on him. You, on the other hand, are made out of clay. You have a spark of God's spirit in you, and life is in you. But this body that is going to die eventually, you are going to enter into eternity and be given a new body that will never feel pain or be sick or sad ever again. You're coming from the clay going to heaven, and he's coming from heaven going to hell. You are the pride and joy of the kingdom of heaven. You are the sons and the daughters of the Most High God that created everything. You are his children. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? You may not walk like it, talk like it, act like it, or live like it, that you believe you are God's son or daughter, but the power of the Holy Ghost can come upon you and change your life radically if you will stay open to him. And so Paul is showing that there are two families living on this planet. There's one that is extremely carnal. They get mixed up in their sexual identities. There are people that are just confused about everything, but they choose to go the way of death instead of the way of life. Elijah said to the Jews, "Choose this day whom you shall serve, either Baal or the devil, or serve the Lord God Almighty. Choose this day." How long, he said, will you people halt between two opposing opinions? Will you live and endorse the things of the world and those that do these things that crucified Christ? Or will you turn and choose life? And Moses had God speak to him, and he said to the people, "Choose this day, choose life, and you shall live." Now, I'm taking a lot of classes right now, and I'd love it if the professor would say, "Here's the answer. Answer's over here. Choose this one." "Oh, thank you. I think I'll go that way then." He's made it easy for people to choose. But the sad thing here is they could know him. He has revealed it to them. But since creation, not evolution, of the world, everyone was aware that this planet, Greek philosophers were aware, there is a God, there is a power. His visible assets were seen in the skies and in the earth, clearly seen. Being understood, how do you understand? By the things that are made. You just reason. But what happens when a nation like America begins to implode, or Rome, it begins to implode, it does it because the people have been dumbed down and suppressed from the truth. The leaders have become foolish and full of vanity, and the power that they love has caused them to make stupid decisions that helps the building fall in on top of itself. It's obvious there's a God, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Suppression of the truth. Now, I have a little granddaughter, Sandy and I, Scarlett. She's Jonathan and Sarah's little girl. She's 3 years old. And I don't say this just because she's my granddaughter, but I do. She's really smart, and she has been since she is able to talk. I have watched this little kid. She's 3, and she has a really strong sense of reasoning. I like to do puzzles with her. Before she does anything, she looks at everything. She sorts it out. She gets in her mind. She looks at this puzzle, what she's going to do. Anything she's working with, she lines it all up in front of her, and she makes sure she has everything that she can do. Somewhere along the line, she's like her mom. Her mom, Sarah, was Little Miss Texas at 5 years old. Scarlett's singing. She can carry a tune. She can hear the pitch. She memorizes the song. She watches her mom and dad's DVDs, or if they're on TV or something, and she sings along with them. She loves to sing to the Lord. So I don't know if you've ever heard a lion roar before. Somehow she got this song. "In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Doo-wop, wop, wop." And she does all the background, and she does the whole thing. So we go to the zoo last week, and we're standing there in front of the lions. And there was this female lion that was napping. By the time Jonathan, Sarah, Sandy, and I, and Scarlett got there, nobody standing there. By the time we finished, there might have been 20 people. Well, it woke this lioness up. And I'm at the right-hand side, and the lioness is even with me, but she walks out to the edge of the pit. She looks around at everybody, and she stares right at Scarlet. And she lets out this roar that she's the king of the jungle that vibrates on your chest almost. Ooh, man, that was loud. She didn't do it one time. She did it 8 times. I mean, a huge roar. And she kept looking. And I was looking at her. Why is she roaring so much? And then with 20 adults standing around, the lion is quiet. And then all of a sudden, you hear this little voice. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Everybody looked at her like, what? And we knew she was telling that lion she's with him. That's it. She loves that lion. She could reason in her mind a song with a jungle animal. And it just came out. So reasoning is taken away when we are dumbed down and we are suppressed or have a suppression of truth and we don't have all the facts and people rule over us. The Godhead is known to men. Now we begin to get to the meat of the matter. You mean we could understand the eternal power of God and the quote-unquote Godhead so people are without excuse? I can understand that. I'm without excuse. Because although they knew God, although they knew him, they did not glorify him as God. My life should be led that everybody knows that man loves God. His family loves God. He hangs out with godly people. Your life should be a light so bright that men will see your good works. They will give glory to God. Now look at this. It's a great key to living. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. And the second thing that causes the fall of man, nor were they thankful people. Wow. Thank you that I can breathe. Talking about those lungs, I've stood by the deathbed of many people in San Diego that have died because they smoked cigarettes. And now the emphysema and whatever's gotten into their lobes is just chewing them up. And you're actually watching a person suffocate. It's a very painful death. And God speaks to us all sorts of truth to reason. How do we reason with these things? God has made it so clear we have no excuse. And what happens? They were not thankful people. They became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. It's a fall. Foolish hearts, darkened. Futile thoughts. I can't get my thoughts together. I have no boundaries. I have no responsibilities because I don't believe in God. Then I'm not accountable to anybody or anything. I fear no man, but I fall into 2012 United States of America relativism. The last verse of the book of Judges, every man did right. When there was no king in the land, every man did right was right in their own eyes. That's relativism. And relativism takes away thankfulness. What do you have to be thankful for? You get bored with yourself. So you experiment with life and you get yourself in trouble. When God sets boundaries in your life, not all of us in this room are Olympic athletes. We can't run like the wind. We can't throw a javelin. We can't swim like Michael Phelps. But there are some people that have that body design that they are Olympic athletes. But what we don't have is the ability to stop the choosing. God gave us the right to make choices. So this nation of people and the prehistoric people made bad choices until God came into the picture. Now, here's just a quick summary here before we head out. I think there is suppression of the truth in television, in movies, in magazines, in newspapers, in music, in education, in wars, in medicine, in outer space, and in government. But here he says there's no excuses for suppression of the truth to stop you from asking more questions. Ask questions. Is this all there is to life? Why do people commit suicide? What has happened to their reasoning power to be thankful and grateful? What is their chemical imbalance? Why do things happen the way they do sometimes? Research shows that in homosexual men, there's a chemical that is different than a heterosexual man that comes through the brain and makes a pathway. And nobody knows. I don't know. Are they born with that chemical? Or the question is raised, does that chemical get excreted by the brain and the body because of the action? I don't know. But it does say here that men doing things with men, knowing they will be judged and within themselves something is going to happen, we see that it's beyond our control. Why do we make decisions that push us further from God instead of closer to God? Why can we say, I really love that movie, and you'll go out and be an evangelist for Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's raised from the dead? You'll go out and tell where there's a great concert going on somewhere at the House of Blues, but to say, hey, we're having a night of worship. Nah, it's, okay. But if the pastor paid $10,000 or $50,000 to have that band there, that band draws Christians that are church hoppers. Our hearts can be manipulated even in Christianity. You need to always have a Bible in your iPad, your iPhone, or anything else that you can always go to the Word of God in your glove box. If you stop somewhere and there's an accident, if you need to console someone that you know is in the hospital, that it is feeding you, and you begin to get the mind of the Lord, the fullness of the Godhead. So let's turn to Colossians, a very simple little statement. It's just to the right of Romans, goes to Ephesians, and then Philippians. And somebody asked me once if that was Filipinos, and I said, no, it's Philippians. It's two different areas. But would you go to the first chapter? It's only two pages, Colossians chapter 1, verse 8, and follow me. Talking about God giving Jesus the power to give you an entrance into eternity and his kingdom. Verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his will. I want to know his will. I want his knowledge. And spiritual understanding. Lord, I want spiritual understanding. I want to see through walls. I want to be able to see if a person's lying to me. I want to discern truth. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. I don't want to walk worthy of the world and slink around in slinky clothes. And I want to be worthy of God in modesty, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We can partake of a kingdom that is so gorgeous, and we can't get to it in these bodies, but we will be partakers with the people we love that we know that they're already there. And what do? We are strengthened, giving thanks to the Father. See, we're thankful people. He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Yahoo, it's over with. Old bars have no draw to me anymore. Going into clubs, getting drunk, go dancing or whatever in the world. It's nothing the matter with doing that, but you do it in excess, you're going to get in trouble with yourself. But he has delivered us from the power. Darkness can't draw us in to go gambling in Vegas and waste our money. He's conveyed us. It's already transpired. The passport has been issued. Your identity is conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of our sins. And he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones or kingdoms or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the pastor's not, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. And we want to give preeminence in this church to Jesus Christ and in each of our hearts. Give him the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether they are things on this earth or things that are out in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, remember they knew God and turned from the faith. Grounded, remember last week the word established, grounded and steadfast, you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, chapter 2, look at verse 9. Verse 6, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ as the Lord, he challenges us, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you. See, suppression of the truth. Is somebody you're living with suppressing you? Are there television shows that are your favorite that are suppressing the ability for you to be a brighter person? Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. God has visible assets. He has visible attributes. They are clearly seen. You choose if you want to ignore them or to embrace them. You choose if you want to be a spiritual woman or a shady woman. You choose if you're going to be a godly man or you're going to fear man. You're either going to stand for his righteousness or you're going to fall for all the unrighteousness in the world around you. Beware of those that would deceive you. Paul knew what he was talking about to the Romans. It was around the world, this sin. He's talking to his prior populations knew of creation because he said, for since the creation of the world, visible things of God are seen. Because although they knew God, verse 21, they did not glorify him. So we did not come from a bunch of knuckle draggers. We did not come from an evolution of the monkeys into Cro-Magnon or Pro-Magnon cave people. We were made in the image and the likeness of our Creator. And only a lie from hell would permeate our education systems to suppress the truth that a man raised from the dead. And that you have the right from the Creator to have that power residing in you and the ability to think and reason as the kingdom of heaven does more than the kingdom of this world. In a broader sense, planet Earth is a gulag like the Russian gulags that Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about in the Gulag Archipelago. We are all prisoners of a fallen being on planet Earth. And for some reason, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ and his disciples that are light bearers of truth that allow the Earth to not be totally destroyed and taken over by this ruthless evil creature. They knew God. They chose in their mind. They were intellectual people. They decided that lust of the flesh was more. When they knew God, they made a choice. We're going to go downhill instead of uphill. Here's the spiral. We're the most important part of creation, but we're never told that. Break on the news. You are the most important part of. No, they give us riots, shooting, wars, muggings, rapes. There's a criminal on every street and behind every car. Fear, fear, fear. All the movies are about cops and investigating crimes. Fear, fear, fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, But he's given us love, power, and a sound mind. Why would God create in 6 days the heavens and the earth and all the animals and the stars and say, let there be light, and there is light, and all the oceans and everything? He ended on the seventh day to take a rest, but he said, and it is good. Everything he did was good. There wasn't a flaw in his plan. And then take millions of years for evolution for the human being. You know, I can't do this very well. I've never done one before, so I'm going to let it happen over a few million years. So you monkeys, you figure it out, okay? And then you'll be related to them somehow. Can you believe that reasoning? It takes more faith to believe in monkeys' uncles and monkey business than it does that there's a God. That takes a lot of faith to think that a primordial ooze came and, phew, I couldn't even let my mind go there. God created you. You're a woman because God created you a woman. You're a man because God created you a man. So you need to act it and live it. These people did not. The devil had so corrupted Rome that they lost their identity. God says their hearts became foolish. They became hardened, reprobate. They became dark. There were no reasoning forces. We live among beings just like this today that control everything. And they simply want to mar the image of God. You are the image of God. You're not an ex this or an ex that. Or I'm on the recovery road from this. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has given you the power to resurrect from the dead. He can help you in any problem you have. Think more highly in the spirit. The only part of life and creation that is made in his image is you. So to mar God's image, two great things the devil could do. And notice it said right there in verse 25, therefore God also gave them up. They became corruptible. In verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And they began to worship four-footed animals, birds in the air, fish in the sea, and creeping things, and many of you girls have dated creeps before. You understand what he's talking about here. The low life. They keep going in numbers and words down, birds very high, animals down, lower, and even creepy things or slithery things, snakes. That man has fallen so low that they'll worship snakes and rats and cows and wooden idols. But the living God is pulsating with love for all of us. And yet we do not glorify him, nor are we thankful. And this is how a nation goes in to an irrecoverable spiral. By the devil, evolution is a put down on creation. Suppression of truth, you cannot have creation. You cannot have selective creation. You cannot have the Bible in the classroom. Suppression of truth. Suppression of truth. They will stand before our Father's mighty throne and give an account of themselves for all the boys and girls that they led astray. Why in the world does the governor of California have the right to pass a law and push it through the school districts that are billions and billions of dollars bankrupt, that starting at kindergarten, children have to be taught about homosexuality and lesbianism? Tell me why. Because the Christian community is asleep and enjoying the pleasures of this world. That's why. They are not standing up and letting their shining lights come out. They're not standing up and saying, hold it, stop, not in our school district. You have the power to impeach every school board member. But how do we do it now? You need to wake up to the fact there's a war going on, and those of us who have been fighting it are tired. And you need to be righteous men. Not limp-wristed men, not endorsing the things that are politically correct, but they're foul in the eyes of the living God. You need to stand for righteousness and speak out for it. Because if we, the salt that are to bring savor to every community, we lose our savor, Jesus said himself, we are good for nothing. Nothing. You have a responsibility. But if you don't take the responsibility, you will answer as much as the people that are on the other side will answer. So I encourage you, what is stopping your mind from reasoning that I want more of him and less of this? God, I just want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to see you. I want to understand you. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I want to serve you. What do I do? You don't think he's not going to draw close to you? The Bible says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. That's right. I'm not here telling you stories. It better be my life. I've seen him. I've heard him. I've watched him in my own family the last 4 years. I've cried with him. I've begged him. And he said that his grace is sufficient. I don't need to worry about anyone or anything. Paul is telling us in closing a truth that is so deep that the implosion of the Roman Empire was that people began to worship the creature more than they did the Creator. And in doing that, professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into images of animals and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Therefore, God, he just gave up. God gave them up to uncleanness. It's a sign that the end of the age is here. He gave them freedom for the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies. This is the only body I have. I really work hard at keeping it up. But I can dishonor it over lust and putting that lust in the wrong place? No. Their hearts, it's in the heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. They worshiped and served the creature, evolution, the animals, Environmental Protection Agency. Oh, you can't build there because there might be that whatever. We're not sure what it is, but it could be there. Yeah, got it. We're worshiping that as opposed to putting in a home that'll help pregnant teenage women. No, they serve the creature. They serve. The creature tells them how to pass their laws more so than the Creator, to bless a community who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, and this is it, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for it as against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. In themselves, something tears their body down. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, otherwise one that can no longer reason and choose right from wrong. If you're caught in this lifestyle, I beg you, call out to God. Only He can redeem you. If you have friends and you're endorsing this lifestyle, I'm talking eternal values here and eternal friendships, not just 20 years in San Diego or 15. You have to show your love to your children by saying no. They have to have boundaries. They have to have absolutes. And what a great absolute for the human mind to know that there is a Creator that put us together and gave us 70 years to live among other people and to find the answer to life and live it and share it with other people like a bee going from plant to plant to get the pollen. And that there is a God who loves you so much you cannot fathom. No human eye has ever seen, no human mind has ever understood, no human ear has ever heard the things that God has prepared for those people that love Him. I want to put my eggs in that basket. I don't want to put them in a selfish body that's full of lust to give me a few seconds of pleasure. No. Stand up and reason with God and get an eternal perspective, because God comes at a time and says, I've tried so hard to show you in so many ways I'm here. I am turning you over to a reprobate heart. It will be hardened because you want unrighteousness. In verse 29, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, backbiters. You hate me. You're violent. You're proud. You're boasters. You're inventors of evil things. You're go ahead. You're undiscerning. You're untrustworthy. You're unloving. You're unforgiving. You're unmerciful. And you know who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know that there's a God who will judge, that those who do these things are deserving of death. They not only continue doing them, but also approve of those who practice them. Endorsement of a lifestyle. Therefore, you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. He's talking to the Christians. And I can say, I think very straightforward, that the heterosexuals have more problems than the homosexuals because they think that they're straights and they can do it anytime they want. Being a Christian or non-Christian, they'll never answer, yes, you will. And when you get an STD as a Christian, and maybe it's gone too far, you better realize the judgment has come to you. You must be a holy woman and a holy man. And you must be thankful that God has saved your soul. And you must give him glory. Giving God glory as a nation is gone in America. It's gone. President Obama has never had a major international or national Bible-believing minister start off anything other than his inauguration. That was it. You need to stand with Paul. Because we live in a Rome of our own. And there's only a handful. And this handful is going to end up in the arenas with the Lions and the Bears. And I'm not talking Chicago Bears and Detroit Lions. These are going to be brave people. But as we leave this introduction now into the second chapter, God now shows us how to look. Now that we can begin reasoning, how do we look at things in this world? And then it'll take us up to chapter 5. Where he starts building blocks inside of us. And he'll be reasoning with you. And he'll ask you questions. And you're going to say, well, how do I answer that? Oh, then chapter 6 and 7 is going to come along. And you're going to see that every one of us are the same. We have a battle going on inside. We don't do the good things that we should. And we don't stop doing the bad things that we should stop. We're doing the opposite. And we realize there's a law in our flesh. We're all under this. But when we thank God, thankfulness through Jesus Christ, we realize there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And at that point, you quit trying to be a Christian, you quit trying to be religious, you quit trying to please everybody, and you realize that it's his death, burial, and resurrection that has given me the forgiveness power to live the life that no man can live. And you're going to soar. I'll do my best to keep up with it if you'll do yours.